All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight as we head towards the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. Sweet 16 games begin tomorrow night, a little after 7 o'clock. We'll have them here for you on WGCL. Starts at 7:15 tomorrow night, and several very, very good games, as you would imagine, here in the Sweet 16. Some excellent matchups to come. We'll talk about those here in just a little while, but the season just over last weekend, last Friday afternoon for the Indiana Hoosiers of Tom Crean. And, of course, that does not mean that the engine stops and that the fan talk stops, because there's always stuff going on in the off season in particular. Of course, we knew we had two kids signed for this coming season, despite no seniors to be graduating and leaving the team. And simple math tells you somebody had to leave the team. At least two people have to leave the team, or presumably have to leave the team. Something has to happen there, and they're still recruiting other players on top of that. So you knew there was something to happen here, a shoe to drop. And one of those shoes dropped earlier today as Stanford Robinson's announced as leaving the Indiana program and heading back to the D.C. area, his home area, to a play he wants or would like to start, it sounds like. And I'd say it's probably a little doubtful he's going to do that. Went from 17 minutes a game last year, scoring 6.5 points, to 11.5 minutes a game this year, scoring 3 points. Clearly struggling with his shot, both on the field and at the free throw line, and struggled turning the ball over a little bit too. But talk, I guess, a little bit here about what this means for the team, losing Stanford Robinson, 11 minutes a game. Again, he was in and out of the lineup all the time. Later in the season, he seemed to have a role of a defensive third option inside. But Glass, he came in as a guy that you thought was going to be a guy who could handle the ball, who could lead an offense, maybe not be a shooter, and we saw that pretty quickly, but at least a guy that could get the ball where you wanted it to be, direct an offense. And he really never, ever showed any kind of real aptitude at that.
Goes back to how much of the hook you like to swallow in recruiting rankings and believing everything you watch on YouTube and all the analysts that sit here and watch all these games during the summer and high school and everything else. And sometimes that's a very, very dangerous game to play, because I don't remember Stanford Robinson coming in here and saying, I'm going to tear this place to shreds. This is what I'm going to do. No, it's not. And but that's kind of the expectation, it seems like, for most kids that walk in the door at Indiana University. And the basketball program is under humongous scrutiny from a massively passionate, wild, and crazy fan base. And when they hear top 50 this or top 60 that, the expectations sometimes don't even match. They're impossible to match unless you are a player of the Cody Zeller perhaps caliber, or Noah Vonleh perhaps caliber, right? If you're a top 15 player in the country and you come in. Yogi Ferrell, you can throw in that category too. He's a McDonald's All-American, right? And he's performed essentially since day one, which is, again,
Stanford Robinson was ranked, if you want to pick one, again, I stick with rivals just because, sure, what the heck, why not, 56 overall in his class. Troy Williams was 47th. Noah Vonleh was 8th. If you look back the last year or two of these guys, I think you can tell what those mean, or at least make it your own determination.
Absolutely right. So the number that gets attached to them sometimes gets attached by the high school they go to, by the AAU team they play with. And if a guy writing about it knows the coach, and the guy says, hey, this guy isn't ranked high enough, he's ranked low enough, and it's a very inexact science, is my point. When Robinson got here, I think the thing that stuck out immediately was he was athletic, and I don't think there was no one's going to argue that point, are they? But when you change a guy's shot in between year one and year two, I don't know how that's going to help anybody's confidence in anything. Because did he spend all year doing it? Did he figure this out on October 20th? It just seemed like he wasn't in a position. And we've got to be fair about this, Dave, and nobody likes to be fair anymore. Everybody wants to change things for their agenda, and I get all that. But Stanford Robinson was in trouble with Yogi Ferrell trying to get into Kilroy Sports.
Yeah.
Stanford Robinson also missed the first four games of the year because he failed multiple drug tests.
Don't forget, I think Stanford Robinson also didn't get on the floor early in the season, or at least in the preseason, in his freshman year for one reason or another, if I remember correctly. Was he not the gentleman that
he had problems?
He had a big game in one of the
Tom Crean
scrimmages.
Said, I remember exactly what it was. He said he has to find out the difference between being hurt in being in pain.
Right. But so, he was a big player in one of those scrimmages and didn't play at all in the next one, or vice versa.
I think that's absolutely correct, if I remember that correctly, or just had very scant minutes in the second one. So it was a rough transition. Remember, college isn't for everybody. And where Stanford Robinson went to high school his final year is a very, very interesting story. And I don't think a lot of fans really have gotten into that. Go look up Finley Prep in Las Vegas, Nevada when you get a mm-hmm. minute. They don't go to school. They live at a guy's house. They're homeschooled. They don't get to play in the Nevada State Championships. They're not a accredited institution that way. So that's where he spent the year before coming to a major university.
It exists 39 only for male athletics. Basketball athletics. And
it's
recruiting.
A guy's house.
Yeah.
Where they kind of go to class, and then they travel all around the country on Nike money mm-hmm. or Adidas money or whoever
Shabazz Muhammad. There's been some big names that have gone there. Absolutely.
But the point is, the people that do follow that say, oh, he left the East Coast to go to Finley
in Vegas.
He must be outstanding. Oh, it's not fair to these kids.
No.
And sometimes we lose that in all of this. We lose about they are kids away from home. There was nothing normal about that final year of his in high school. There wasn't. And if you go read the articles, folks. I mean, again, I'm just telling you what I've read. That's fine. Am I making excuses for Robinson? No, I'm trying to make you look at it in totality from all of this. Mm-hmm. And the basketball on the floor, the escape, whatever it is, didn't work out. And as he said in his statement, I love Indiana. Everybody's great. I want to go somewhere where I play basketball. Nothing to do about the business school. Nothing to do about this, that, or the coach. Or anything. He just, hey, I want to be closer to home where he hasn't been in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants somewhere where he can play. As you mentioned, his playing time went down significantly and all that. And then I can – then I'm going to get inside the onion and say, man, the coaching staff that recruited me saw me play and do all this and Kenny Johnson and this, that, and the other thing. And then they leave and then they want to change my shot and make me do something else. Mm-hmm. And again, these are 18, 19-year-old kids. These aren't free agents you bought and signed to a big contract and they have to perform. So things don't work out. We've seen plenty of things that don't work out here and in a lot of other programs. And then the other thing we learned from that is if you stick a microphone in front of a kid's face 5 minutes after a season ends and you're upset that he lied to your face, oh, come on, you guys have been in the journalism business more than 15 minutes, haven't you?
There's a number of things that bug me there. I think the first one, though, and I agree with you on this, 333-2665 is our phone number. You know, I have a lot of sympathy for what these kids go through.
Absolutely.
I have a lot of sympathy for what the coaches go through. I've said this repeatedly, one way or another, and take the money out of it. I realize that's part of it, but take the money out of it no matter what. And the adulation of the players, if you will. The players have to go out and take what's told to them and make plays out on the floor. They don't get nearly enough credit, believe it or not, to what they should to make these games go one way or another.
The coaches get all the money.
And exactly. And it's the coaches that get the blames for the failures that happen on the floor. And I get that's how it works. But the bottom line is the players have to be comfortable with their situations. Stanford Robinson clearly from day one was not comfortable with this. And we can look back even further and say Jeremy Hollowell was a similar situation. Clearly not comfortable with what was going on. Whether there's something else personally or not, I don't want to speculate on it because I don't know.
They can come out and tell you
that. But they may very well be. We have to keep that part in mind, is that these are people. These are humans. They've got stuff going on. As you mentioned, a lot of turmoil or a lot of moving around at the very least. It's pretty clear at the beginning of this year.
Immature age.
Yeah, that we were looking at a kid, a 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid who had a real chance of not being here this next year at the beginning of this year.
He had two strikes against him when it started.
Exactly right. He was suspended at the beginning of this year because of a failed drug test along with Troy Williams, as you mentioned. He had the situation trying to get into Kilroy's, which again, I don't kill a kid for either one of these, but they are indiscretions against the program, and that shows to me, I don't know how much respect you really have for the authority figure that you're there for. All of that means something at the end of the day, and what it means in this case is he's going back home to try to find another place to play.
And the other thing, it's probably
just as well for him and for Indiana basketball right now.
And the other thing we have to worry about, and since you're a year older today, happy birthday, by the way, Elton John, Sarah Jessica Parker, Coach Crane, just to mention
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Tony Kornheiser called her Horseface.
Well,
referred to her as Horseface all the time.
Well, when you're as ugly as Tony, I guess you can get away with that.
I don't think he meant me, but he probably should have.
But I think there's a generational gap as well where guys under 30 think, what's the big deal? And guys over 30 think, tough it out and stay 4 years.
Yeah,
well, that's got to stop.
There's always a fan's idea that, hey, Indiana basketball is the greatest thing.
It's a molder of men. It's not the Army.
It's the most amazing thing. How could you possibly want to leave the temple that is Indiana basketball? And you know what? As a fan, I agree with you. But the bottom line is the kids still
pretty
have to
simple.
Go through the crap.
The kids have to
go to
class.
Have to want to do it. I mean, they might not want to do it.
Look,
I've said this repeatedly, and I think it gets missed here. People think Tom Crean is a pain in the butt. And he is a pain in the butt. And you know why he's a pain in the butt? Because he's got a lot of things he's asking people to do. And he's got a lot of things he's asking people to do that they don't want to do. Because a lot of these kids are 18, 19 years old, and they don't want to get pushed like this. Because that's what coaches do to people.
Right.
And the kids may talk nicely here and there about him, but they're going to be irritated about it because they're sick of getting pushed.
And
just like they're sick of their dads telling them or their moms telling them they're doing something wrong. Nobody likes that kind of thing.
Right. And it's not AAU anymore where you are drooled over,
exactly.
Adulated over.
You've got to live up to those criteria.
And you got to remember, too, college isn't for everybody. As much as we'd love everybody to take it, how could he turn down an educational opportunity? It's not for everybody. You know what? Not everybody wants to graduate in 3 years and have a master's degree in year
That's
four.
Exactly right.
Not everybody wants to stay all summer and cram in nine hours each session and just to hit some kind of magical APR number that makes everybody but them. They're everybody's lives, but theirs easier.
And if you look at the numbers,
not everybody's that mature.
The two biggest money making sports in college athletics traditionally also have the most questionable student athletes that come in grade wise coming out of high school. All right, I'm not going to make other labels other than that. If you look at the grade averages that come in on those, the other sports all come in generally with higher grades than some of football and basketball. Not all, some of. So you're talking about more of a chance that those kids are going to be at risk to struggling in this learning environment. So that's absolutely part of it,
too. And that's not saying that Stanford Robinson was academically ineligible.
That's not my point. Yeah.
Because if he was, he wouldn't have been playing. That's quite easy to find.
But it can be a hard adjustment.
It is.
If that's not your thing.
And the other thing is, how hard have you had to work your entire life? Is it about your physical talent? Is it about your classroom talent? I bet when people think about working hard, they think about, well, did you practice hard? Do you listen to everything? Or did you go 6 hours on Sunday from midnight to 6 a.m. go shoot jumpers on June 28th?
Mm-hmm.
And not every guy goes to the gym at Cook Hall for 40 extra hours a week because they're immature. Because they don't want it bad enough.
It's
not their thing.
Some do it for 20 hours and spend the other 20 smoking doobies and playing PlayStation.
How do you know that? You don't. And that's why kids transfer at every program. That's why Jeff Goodman has a list. If you're an ESPN insider, he used to do this when he was at Fox and CBS and his other 62 stops. By June 1st, he will have no less than 300 kids on this list annually about who is left a program, whether it's coaching changes, everything else. And what I'm thinking out loud before we get to this break, you made a good point about coaches and money. Uh-huh. If coaches can get up and leave when they want, you can't kill kids if they're uncomfortable or want something better either. You can't have it both ways.
They've got to be able to do it. Back to the Goodman thing real quickly before we hit this break. I counted before we came on the air. Since the show on Monday.
When I brought it up the first time,
48 hours. Yeah. In the last 48 hours, I counted 19 players listed as transferring in 48 hours.
That's mid-semester.
And that doesn't include Stan, so make it 20.
That's mid-semester.
Now, if Stan wants to stay just after the first round of the NCAAs.
Through...
which they say he will be.
The first week in May and keep his standing good. Not everybody does that either.
And IU wants that to happen, too.
Sure they do, because they want their APR to be.
They said he's going to stick around and do that, so absolutely.
A big shout-out to Ryan Burton, academic All Big Ten. One Indiana had on their squad this year. So credit where credit is due.
Now,
and Stan, it's time to fly.
Yeah, and Stan's going to find other things. And,
best of luck to him.
We wish him the best. A lot of people have the theory that this is a cultural issue for IU and IU basketball in particular, that we're seeing a lot more of these than other people. We'll talk a little bit about that when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Quick programming notes. We've got the NCAA tournament all weekend for you. Starts Thursday and Friday, 7:15 with the first tip-offs. Thursday night, that's Notre Dame and Wichita State. And Friday night, that's Gonzaga against UCLA.
Pre-game coverage starts at 7, so you'll hear Your Money with David Hayes in his normal live spot on Thursdays, and the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman Friday night, 6 to 7. And then on Saturday, Dave picks up, just like it will on, a week from Saturday. Games getting going just after 6 o'clock. First two Final Four winners will be determined, and the Sunday games start at 2, so a full weekend of elite basketball. It doesn't get any better than this.
And we will preview a little bit of that, what we like and don't like heading into the Sweet 16. A lot to like, I'll tell you that right
Absolutely
now.
Right.
Some nice matchups in those first games.
And all you can do is play who you're playing, and that's it. Can't win three games ahead. You've got to beat the person in front of you, and there's some excellent finality to all that, where teams do play a little bit differently than they do on the second Tuesday in January. It is a different ball game.
333-2665 is our phone number. We are talking a little bit of IU basketball as we have news on one of those roster spots that looked like it needed to clear up for a couple of the signees, as Stanford Robinson's announced that he is transferring. Actually, a joint transfer announcement, or I guess it's Indiana Basketball to put it out. So joint, whatever. That's not a pun intended there, by the way. But it does come out with quotes from both the coach and from Stanford Robinson. So take it as from what it is. Sounds amicable in the release, whatever you want to make of that. But the bottom line is Stanford Robinson is leaving to head back towards the D.C. area and play basketball there, a place that he would like to get a little bit more time. And who blames him? 11 minutes a game. Maybe he didn't deserve it here, but he certainly wants it. But there is a legitimate question here, I suppose. I'm not sure it's a legitimate point, but it's a legitimate question. Is this a Tom Crean issue of people transferring out of the program, leaving the program in general? We've seen some coaches here and there have to go for one reason or another. Or is it an IU basketball issue for one reason or another? Is it an Indiana issue for one reason or another? Is it just simply circumstantial and actually not all that much to be made out of it? I want to point out the last point at the very least. I'm not overly freaked out about the numbers because, as you mentioned, the Jeff Goodman is just one example, I think, of people, writers that might keep track of all these people who transfer from their program. But I think you mentioned the number somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 transferring on 1 year basis. Since Monday, mid-afternoon on Monday, he has tweeted out the names of 19 players that have announced they are transferring from their schools. That does not include Stanford Robinson, so make it 20.
And the reason for that is twofold. Number one, it's a week after all the conference tournaments, for the most part, are finished. Coaching carousel changes usually are made after before the Sweet 16 week, if not right around the NCAA convention time when they meet at the Final Four. So it's not hugely surprising if
I want to note with that real quickly, too. At least two of the announcements were two players from one school.
Sure.
And I believe it was
Ron
three
Patterson
or four.
Was one of them from Syracuse.
Well, and I believe three or four of them was two players
two from
the same school.
I know that for sure.
Yeah, South Florida had one. Memphis had them. So yep. There's three right there.
Yep, and a lot of that can be coaching changes. A lot of it is philosophical changes 1 year after a coaching change. There's 1,000 reasons why it happened. So it's not unique to Indiana. It's not unique to Indiana's program. And I think where people, I don't want to say get bent out of shape, but where they question it is, it just seems like it happens frequently here where maybe we think it shouldn't happen frequently to this program, okay? Mm-hmm. You're allowed to believe in whatever you want to believe. That's no problem at all. But Tom Crean, let's be fair, has coaches and strength conditioning people, they've all been coming and going too. Jhené Jackson left here on the first day of January, New Year's Eve, to take the Kansas football strength and conditioning
job. But how long was he here?
Four or five years, replaced Jeff Watkinson, who left after
two years or three.
Well, he was here with Kelvin before that. Exactly. So Jeff's a friend of mine.
But he was here a couple years. Is my point there? I mean, to me, a short term thing signals something's
Benny
not
Seltzer
working
left
between
to take
people.
A job.
Right.
Kenny Johnson left to get a job. Who else?
McLean is just taking a job.
He came in. He just
UIC.
Took the UIC.
He
job.
Was here for 5 years. Buckley's been here, I think, all seven.
Since
if I remember correctly.
The beginning.
So I mean, there are.
And Tim Garl's been here for 73 years.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Why doesn't he retire? I mean, we're happy to have him.
I think he's got five daughters.
Well, that might be why. That might be
Tim,
why.
We love you. We're having fun with you, and he's done an unbelievable job organizing everything behind the scenes you don't see there.
But an example of the coaches that I think people didn't like was, of course, Calbert Chaney.
Here's there you go. Good point.
IU stud who ended up leaving to take an assistant coach.
And there's 100 reasons why that happened. Why would Calbert leave Indiana to go take a program with that were just lost Rick Majerus? There's 1,000 reasons why, because you know what today is about. And this is what gets lost in the older-timer fan, guys like my age and up. I'm 40, you're 40, one sometime or two. I give you the benefit of the doubt there, is why would you leave? No one leaves. You tough it out. It makes you a man after 4 years. It's not the Army.
No, people have options.
It's not, man. You know what life's about right now? Truly, sadly, or indifferently, the guy looking back at you in the mirror. It ain't about team. It ain't about this. You can go out there and talk about, you know, it was chemistry at the end of the year? One team. Guy that lifts a trophy. That's the team that had chemistry. Well, everybody else got something going on.
Yeah.
Something didn't work. Maybe you didn't have the greatest time. But it's a very individualized world we live in. And if you go somewhere and you're not guaranteed playing time and you're not guaranteed minutes and you're not guaranteed anything except an opportunity, there's some people that haven't been brought up recently that resonates with or they get. Right. Because on the recruiting visit, I'm just talking in generalities here, not Indiana, no one says, hey, look, you're going to have to really hump it.
Right.
And you're going to have to sweat. And, you know, when we get home from games, sometimes we're going to practice a little bit.
Yeah,
and we're going to come in on holidays.
They might
and you're not going
to
go home for the holiday.
They might say to them, if you work hard, you'll have a great chance to play here and be a big option here. And we see good things for you.
That happens everywhere.
Yeah, but the bottom line is, and then you're coming from an environment where you used to be
you've
and told
coddled.
How great you are. I mean, let's look at, you know, any of the local stars you want to take, just use them here. I mean, I'll pick D'Angelo Roberts. He was one of the best high school athletes I've ever seen, especially in the game of football, of course. At Bloomington North, he was amazing. People could not stop him. He rushed for 300 yards, 400 yards.
Yeah, he had the county rushing record.
He was 185 pounds at best, and he's dragging people all over the field. He had to go over to IU and work his butt off and still had a real hard time getting on the field because it's a step up, and it's a whole different type of environment. And that's not to say Scott Bless's program isn't great. It is great. But it's just, it's a whole nother level of environment. It's a whole nother level of athlete that you're getting in and among to compete against. It's a whole different situation than you're used to.
And again, it's a do-it-yourself job. You get the opportunity. You can't be forced to go to the gym and hoist up another 200 jump shots.
That's why Kareem always talks about the guys that do.
You're not forced to go to study table and get ahead in that degree. You're not, and it's not for everybody. So when you look at attrition numbers or whatever you want to call them, if this was a non-national issue, it might be an issue. But it's changed. Yeah, it's not Mike Giomi leaving. Oh, my gosh. Wow, how did that happen? Guys have transferred in and out of this program.
Which one of these guys has transferred the last few years is our Luke Recker, who was an absolute darling of Indiana.
Yeah, Mr. Basketball, that's a whole different set of circumstances, and that hasn't happened. So, again, moving forward, the numbers game is now the numbers game. And if you want to bemoan that Luke Fisher isn't here anymore, and you want to bemoan that Peter Jerkin is not an option in your front court anymore, well, that's silly, because it's all about moving forward.
Right.
There hasn't been a lot to look at the last 2 years. 37 wins in 2 years isn't something that's going to be one of the most highly looked back on periods in Indiana basketball history. And sometimes you do add by subtracting, and you don't want to. But guys that tend to not want to work hard, not saying this is Stanford at all, I'm hypothesizing in a general direction. Guys that don't get after it, guys that don't do what they're supposed to do, drags down the rest of the group.
Yeah,
and sometimes when you get one guy, even a fringe guy like that, perhaps, or a stud star that gets out of the way, sometimes teams get a lot better.
We had a lot of clear issues on last year's team. I think that's why that talented team finished with 17 wins.
Amen.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
We thank J&S Locksmith being with us this afternoon. J&S, where you find everything for the residential or commercial outdoor technician. J&S Locksmith, 508 West 17th Street here in Bloomington.
So we've got two kids signed. We're recruiting up to two or three more potentially. Who knows? I mean, it could be six for all we know. But at least a couple big guys they are looking at. And there is now one roster spot open that needed to open. A second would need to be opened to bring in one of the two signed recruits.
Or you talk one into going to a prep school or that's something possible. Else I mean, like
something
that.
Needs to have, somebody needs to go some direction.
Right, except or they just pay their own way. That's another possibility. You can walk on and the only scholarships there, later, can't you?
I was wondering about that because the legality behind it. I think the Bill of Rights that they put in place set up
can't do that,
the
right?
scholarship as a four-year scholarship. Now, how much you have to tie to that, I don't know. Here are the possibilities. There's always the NBA possibility. Now, who would that be? That would be Yogi Ferrell. That would be James Blackman. That would be Troy Williams as guys right now that you would think are at least mentionable. I'm not going to tell you Troy Williams is ready to walk in there and be an NBA player. I don't think he is.
They don't buy you on that.
He's an athlete, I think.
They buy you on how you're going to develop.
If he improves at the level that he did this year, I think there's no question he's a draftee after next year. Potentially. I'm not sure he's number two in the nation like Vic, but let's be fair. James Blackman, a scorer, a shooter. James has a lot of things he needs to work on. Would they take a 6'3 guy who can shoot and has had streaky nights?
Where nice bloodlines.
Well, I mean, he's got all the bloodlines, so certainly there is that. Would they take him based on what they saw this year? Because you saw some awfully streaky nights out of James. I don't know. I can't be in the NBA's head. I'd be surprised, but nothing would absolutely shock me. And so the other side of that, of course, is the other end of the roster or somewhere in the middle. Are people not happy? Do people want to move on? Was Colin Hartman happy being in the role he was put in this year? I don't know. I'd hate to see Colin go. I'm just throwing names out there. There's no rumors here.
Well, the other thing about this is, and the one thing that we're not talking about that we need to talk about is the reclassification, perhaps, of Devin Davis. We don't want that to be the case, but he was in a major, major, yeah. major car accident with a major, major, major head injury. Mm-hmm. And for us to dismiss that he'll be back playing next year, that might not be accurate either. They might.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Well, it's an absolute possibility. Yeah, I mean,
that's true.
When he warmed up before the Wichita State or that practice before, Tom said he wanted to do that, and he stressed he is nowhere close yeah. to being ready for contact in practice or anything else. He wanted to go shoot some layups to feel like he was part of the team.
Yeah.
That is a physiological issue.
Absolutely.
That, who knows? They find that out July 1, August 27th, mm-hmm. October 9th, November 22nd.
We don't know. Is
that's my point. Yeah. But that could be another angle mm-hmm. that is being looked at yep. because of just that unfortunate situation. And that is not a knock saying Devin Davis will never play college basketball again. But Maurice Creek didn't come back here and play. Matt Roth didn't come here and play yeah. after some injury. Who else had injury problems? Austin Etherington was hurt all the time. Yeah. They have shown in the past, if you are not one, Peter Cherkin,
yeah.
I keep going, guys. I keep going.
No, absolutely.
Guys that are not 100% fit, Colin Hartman.
Yeah.
Based on
well, let's,
his,
I mean, let's
what's
be
been
fair.
Going on.
I mean, if you're not physically right, and in this case with a head injury, if that's an issue, and maybe the Big Ten basketball is not the place you need to be.
Well, it is a full
right.
contact league, yeah. and we have seen precedent beforehand that said, hey, you'd like to play.
Right.
We'd love for you to play. The level we have to play at, we can't. It's not good
we
for
don't
you.
Think you can hit it, yeah.
It's not good for me. It might not be the best thing for mm-hmm. health. We don't know. Yeah. So that is sadly something. That's an option. That
it's
is an absolute option. That
the other one that's always kicked around is look at the bottom of the roster and are these guys going to stick around? Are they doing the work that they need to do, et cetera, et cetera. Again, don't know. There are the names that get thrown around first, other than the NBA guys, I think.
But the
point here is something needs to happen in at least one player, whether it's, as we mentioned, a kid going to prep school or somebody leaving the program.
And let's take it another angle, because this is what we do in the offseason with Indiana basketball. Did you see Remy Abel leaving a couple years ago? No. Came out of the blue? Crane and his mom are trying
that's
to talk
exactly
him
right.
out of leaving?
Yeah.
These things happen when you deal with 18 to 22-year-old kids. And we've seen it. Did you have any idea Luke Fisher was leaving?
No.
Did you have any? Right. You can just keep going down
absolutely.
The list and pointing guys out and saying, well, geez.
That's why I mentioned Colin Hartman, not because I have any insight
no.
into anything.
My point is you have to mention everybody.
Yeah.
You know, Robert Johnson might walk in and say, I can't take this.
Right.
I've been, but I'm not saying he's going to. But did you see Remy Abel? Guy's cut like yeah. Adonis. Was getting big minutes at the end of the year and
mm-hmm.
bigger minutes
bigger.
Than he was.
Yeah.
He was going this
it
way.
It didn't look like he was
going
to be on his
he wasn't
way
going
out.
In the stand direction.
You're exactly right.
So he goes. And this is what you get when you deal with kids. So I think to not put a bow on this, but to look at it in totality, as I like to say, it happens everywhere. It happens to good kids. It happens to bad kids. It happens to hurt kids, unhurt kids, talented kids, non-talented kids. And the one thing, if you want to knock, the one thing you got to be careful about, the big-time players that have been brought in have left to go pro.
Yeah,
that's absolutely. It. That's what you wanted.
Yeah,
that's what
you want.
Got.
Big time talent.
They're gone.
Where are they? Exactly right.
That's what happens.
Yeah,
you bring in big talent. The guys we talked about, yeah. Zeller,
Vonleh, absolutely
the big boys.
Yogi's at a point right now after 3 years where look, we know
where's his stock.
We're not saying he's a lottery pick, but yeah, exactly.
Stock going
how much
higher
is he going to get for the NBA?
Okay, it's an angle because it is an angle. He can legally go.
Yeah, right.
He's been in his 1 year. It's all you need. Not baseball.
He may very well be graduating. They seem to suggest he will be.
Everybody goes at some point. Is your stock higher? Is it lower? Is it what's in your ear? Who's in your ear? What's in, and this is the fascination behind it. It drives fans mad when they don't know. It can only drive coaches crazier.
Well, what's interesting to me is you've seen a lot of different reasons for the guys that have transferred under Tom Crean. And yet everybody points out this pattern as though there's some sort of pattern to losing
your
worst players off the roster and kicking them off the team because they're no good. And I don't think that's been the case.
I think they've checked all the boxes. You had sentimental guys that left. Matt Roth, Maurice Creek,
Austin Edwards.
Then you can also put those in the injured category.
Yeah.
You can put Bawa Maniru where?
And Peter Jerkin.
Yeah. And, again, Jeremy Hollowell, villain. Heel.
Yeah.
Whatever. That was what he was labeled,
Dave. We didn't want him back anyways.
Didn't
want him back.
That's how it went.
Stanford Robinson would trend that direction. Guy who's in trouble who, you know, he's his turnover machine. He can't shoot. Doesn't know what hand to shoot
with. Ron Patterson couldn't get his grades in the summer. Yeah. I mean, you got every single, not excuse, but every reason in the book. And he got the NBA.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. But that's what it is in this program. They do it. They leave Mike Krzyzewski, right? Don't they? Leave him too. Don't guys go pro?
Yeah, well, he just kicked off his first player.
Yeah. But that was for some reasons they can go deal with down there. That isn't the case here. The reasons here are multiple, and that pattern shows me there isn't a pattern. So if you want to get into it, if you've got a conspiracy theory, it's just like anything else. If you don't like Tiger Woods, he's a cheat, drug, he's using it and everything else. If you don't like Tom Crean, he's running guys off the team, he's this, that, and the other thing. I mean, that's how it works out.
If you're
biased, your angle will be biased. Well, if you're not biased, you can see the forest and the trees.
If you enjoyed watching Georgia State play in the NCAA tournament, they had one of their two leading scorers.
Was guy getting 20 points a game.
Started at NC State.
Ryan Harrell.
After 1 year.
Went to Kentucky.
Didn't play. Transferred out of Kentucky. Yep. Went to Georgia State.
Got 20 points a game for Georgia State this season. Did not play against Baylor, the 3 seed, and they beat him.
Yeah.
Remember that when you're filling out your bracket with Baylor and Scott Drew down the road. Give me a break. That team never beats anybody.
We got to take another quick break.
Neutral floor.
333-2665 is our phone number. When we get back, we will look at the Sweet 16 and tell you what we like about it, and we like a lot. And that'll be in just a couple minutes.
Too bad Drew didn't coach, and we'd have a free winner on
the
board.
Absolutely. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370. WGCL 333-2665 is our phone number. Again, quick programming note, we got NCAA basketball all weekend long, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Starts 7 o'clock Thursday and Friday with a little pregame before the tip-offs at 7:15. Takes you all the way through those two games. And then we've got the weekend also. Saturday starts at 6 o'clock for the Elite Eight games, and then Sunday is 2 p.m. for more Elite Eight games as we try to finalize
our
Final Four. Let's look at the Sweet 16, and I want to start with the best team on the board.
Let me get it out. You don't want to do chronologically?
Right now they're the biggest story, and they're also right now their opponent is the biggest pick of the week to pull off an upset.
Oh, it's Kentucky and West Virginia.
And this is West Virginia. against Kentucky. Can West Virginia beat Kentucky? Amen. Will West Virginia beat Kentucky?
40 minutes will tell us so. And why is this being talked about as such an event as this? Well, in 2010, Bobby Huggins took a decent bunch of West Virginia ragtag kids and went out and beat John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, and the like in a regional semifinal or final? Round eight game. That was to a Final Four. Yeah, that was a regional final.
Did he get to a Final Four?
Check it. 2010. And 2010's a year. I'm almost 100% sure.
That's not the one
where
the kid got injured late in the next game?
He did, and that was the Final Four in Indianapolis.
I thought that was Butler.
No, they did not play in the final that year. Regional
final, I meant.
No. It was in the floor of the Hoosier Dome because it took forever, or the RCA Dome, because it took forever. And Huggins is over him. You know, he's holding his face. Right. He's crying. It's a wonderful image of what it was. But the point of the matter is they beat a young stud Kentucky team with Bledsoe and Cousins. And, again, they had some veterans on that team. That was Patrick Patterson on that team. I mean, there were some. Mm-hmm. That was a much better balanced Kentucky team with youth and inexperience and experience. Now they just
they beat Kentucky in the regional final.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Bring the box score up. Tell me who's on that Kentucky team. They're all in the NBA All-Star teams right now, or the NBA rosters right now. But the point is Bobby Huggins knows what he's doing. You might not like him. You might not have liked him at Cincinnati. You might not like him at West Virginia. You might not like that he operates a lot in the gray area. A lot of college coaches do. But what he did, nobody was upset he beat John Calipari, were they? Nope, didn't hear anybody complaining about that. So what it tells his players, when he goes in the huddle and says, here's how we're going to do it, nobody says, oh, man, this Kentucky's going to kill us,
right,
dude.
Exactly.
He's done it. He has slayed the dragon. He's gotten a big-time Kentucky team on a neutral court, wherever the game was. It doesn't even matter. What if it's a big dome, little arena, whatever. It's regional final. It's got to be in a big arena, right? That's why these dots connect. The other reason the dots connect is West Virginia's got size, they're mean, and they're ornery. They're Cincinnati, but more talented, Dave. That was the angle in that 1-9 game where everybody thought, oh, look, Cincinnati's going to take a sack of rocks and brass knuckles and go in there and fight Kentucky, and they did. They didn't have enough guys to score. Mm-hmm. West Virginia might have a couple more guys that can score, and they lead the country in steals. And what happens when you got big guys like to put the ball down by their feet? You take advantage of that. Strip the ball, get the ball out.
So this is going to be a 32-30 game because Kentucky's awfully good at the defensive end. So the other side is West Virginia. Can they score
enough baskets? Can they shoot enough threes and knock them down? They got some guys that can. I'm not saying it's a very uncomfortable matchup, I think, for Kentucky from the simple fact it is Huggins, and that's going to play on this hugely because, you got to have at this time of year? Good guard play and good coaching. It happens. And Kentucky's got that as well, and they got more guys. But, again, that team with West Virginia will have plenty of belief in it. They just beat a Maryland team, Dave, that, again, was pretty good all year long, won a bunch of games, and knocked them out. So that's why that matchup is exciting. Kentucky also has another thing on their shoulders that's going to press down each minute of each game. It is one step closer to perfection. And I don't care. You can tell me Calipari is telling them this, that, and the other thing. The kids read the paper. The kids are on the internet. The kids are on social media. That stuff adds up. Guys get frazzled. Bad decisions get made. Who knows? And if you saw the West Virginia game against Maryland, they were in Maryland's business all night. And all it takes is one guy stepping on somebody, one guy throwing an elbow, and the whole planets can change.
Well, that game you're talking about was a 2010 regional final.
There you go.
Devin Ebanks, Deshaun Butler, Kevin Jones.
Deshaun Butler's a kid who got hurt in the Final Four.
For West Virginia, but that Kentucky team, Patrick Patterson, DeMarcus Cousins, Darius Miller, Eric Bledsoe, John Wall.
That's enough. That's enough.
I mean, you can go to Daniel Orton, DeAndre Liggins. These are guys.
Well, the reason you went to Orton, he's not a 7-foot-tall guy.
Well, again, looking down the line here, John Hood never ended up.
Well, the thing was, Patterson was a junior.
Yeah.
And Miller was a senior, I believe, or a junior, but they had upperclassmen.
Miller was a junior.
This team doesn't, to be fair. They're not playing anybody that's got any experience besides what their tournament run last year.
Yeah. And Willie Cauley-Stein.
And their tournament run, and he didn't really play in the tournament last year because he was hurt. The angle last year was, hey, Harrison hits two humongous shots, one to beat Michigan, one to beat Ohio State, right?
Amazing shot.
Those shots don't go. Those 25-footers.
Yeah,
those shots don't go in. Those games are done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those weren't tie games, I don't believe. No. I think they were staggered where
They were biggest shots.
They were huge shots, and they were freshmen kids.
Freshmen.
Right, and sometimes when you're playing with house money like that, it gets a little easier, but there's going to be nothing easy about this game. So it should be a tasty one Friday night, 30 minutes after the conclusion of Notre Dame and Wichita State from Cleveland.
Let's talk about that one. That's our opener tomorrow night here on WGCL, Notre Dame and Wichita State. Notre Dame, a team that has no fear, has played won some incredible games and scored a lot of points this year. Here's a Wichita State team that also doesn't have any fear and likes to grind India.
Who's
more and more impressed with this Wichita State team the more I watch them, because I honestly didn't watch them a lot during the season. But two straight games here.
You put a big scalp in front of Wichita State, and they'll be just, they seem a little bit fined by that. Notre Dame's an uncharted water. Mike Bray's first Sweet 16 since 2003. So, again, he doesn't have a lot of stuff or players to lean on in tight spots.
Does he get a bonus for that?
At Notre Dame, yeah, he gets football tickets. But, again, their toughest game was Northeastern in the first round game. The pressure was on them. Northeastern has the ball. They know if they hit a three when time runs out, they get beat by a point. They didn't. Roosevelt Jones get a little luck of the Irish there because of bum knee. And it still takes overtime to beat to beat a good Butler team. And now you got Wichita State. It's about as fresh and rip-roaring. They don't lose games, Dave. 5 in 2 years. They don't lose games. That's what happens there.
I'll tell you what. We watch both those teams, though, make some big plays down the stretches of some games. A great turnaround early in the game for Wichita State against Kansas. But Notre Dame late in the game against Butler had a couple big-time plays.
Yep.
That block that Connaughton came up with, I don't know how exactly he got to the shooter on that, but another big play. The other early game tomorrow night, Wisconsin and UNC.
Love it. 95-92.
This could be entertaining. And, you know, at the end of the day, UNC, I just don't think is disciplined enough to end up beating Wisconsin. They're talented enough, and they've got a couple scalps of their own that they've claimed, but I just don't think they're disciplined enough to stick with them.
Briefly, Wichita's a 2-point favorite over Notre Dame, just if you're into that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Wisconsin, the system always beats talent. It has, and it seems to do that. And, North Carolina's a little loosey-goosey with the ball. Yeah. You saw them blow what kind of lead against Duke in the last minute and 15 seconds? 8 or 9 points.
Well, I mean, it was 22 at Louisville.
Lost the game by eight. Yeah. It was a ridiculous turnaround. So that's the North Carolina you get into. North Carolina hits a bunch of jumpers. Life is great. But if it goes cold, they seem to struggle. They're about a year away, too. And then a great one to wrap up Thursday night, Xavier in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Arizona has awfully, awfully, awfully solid. And Xavier, man, five Sweet 16s the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Chris Mack's been to 3 in his last 6 when he replaced who? Oh, the Arizona coach, Sean Miller. So a little tied in there, and that's what makes it fun.
Let's look at the one seed on the other side, Duke and Utah. This is a Utah team that doesn't get a lot of attention, but probably ought to, because they're going to punch Duke in the mouth, I'll tell you that, at the very least.
Duke's only a 5.5-point favorite, if you're looking at, wow, shouldn't they be, well, again.
Bunch of freshmen.
Again, freshmen. Okafor gets in any kind of foul trouble, their whole style of play has to change. And when Duke gets perimeter orientated and they don't knock down shots, you want Justice Winslow shooting threes? You want Tyus Jones shooting threes? The other team does. It'll be interesting to see how they even try to stop Okafor, because no one has been close to doing that. But he only has 9 rebounds in 2 tournament games. I saw that stat today and almost fell out of my chair. Dude, 6'11", bigger than everybody. 9 rebounds?
Michigan State. Tom Izzo's got to be licking his chops at this region right now, doesn't he? Facing Oklahoma and the winner against NC State and Louisville.
I don't think Izzo cares who the opponent is.
No, but still, let's look at it ourselves. I'm chomping at the bit for him.
I
mean, I'm not sure his team will beat them, but certainly there's nobody daunting there.
Izzo won't let that enter the equation, because he thinks they're probably a 2 seed and thinks they're the favorite. And his team's put up results.
I know his team will be ready, but I'm just saying.
At the time of the year. Well, you thought that last year. You're playing Kevin Ollie, brand new coach, and who was a kid? Napier hit every shot in America.
That's true.
Won in that
game.
Hey,
folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday to recap the whole weekend, Sweet 16
plenty
and Elite
8.
And, of course, we'll have that starting for you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock here on WGCL. So we'll talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.